Hi, this is Sean Sutner, news and feature writer for search HR software TechTarget. I'm here at HR Technology 2017 with Josh Burson, who is principal and founder of Burson, the research arm of Deloitte Consulting's human capital business. Thanks for being here, Josh.
Thank you, Sean. Nice to be here.
You have a great new report and infographic about 10 disruption in the HR technology market for 2018. So could you briefly encapsulate this lengthy piece of research, starting with number one, the new focus on tools for workforce productivity, and then going through them as you see fit?
Sure. Well, I'll start with number one. Number one is the enormous change in the focus in HR software and technology away from process automation and process data capture towards tools that actually help people get their jobs done. And the reason for that is we still have to do lots of HR. We still have to capture data, pay people, understand where they live, keep track of their benefits. But those are really very simple processes to automate. And the more complex problems companies are having is helping people feel engaged, connected, make sure they're working on the right projects, that managers are setting the right goals, that we know who to promote, how people can get better developed. And those are all issues that affect productivity. And we happen to be at a stage in the world of technology that we've all got too much technology and we're not actually that productive.
I hear you. So what about an ERP and HCM moving to the cloud as the talent market reinvents itself? And audience, by the way, I've been reading from Josh's great infographic to ask this question.
Okay, well, so number two is virtually every company, 95% or so of companies have a payroll system, and they have a core HR system, most of them, to keep track of who their employees are. That is all moved to the cloud. It used to be you bought that software and ran it in your IT department and customized it. About 50 or 55% of companies have done that. And that has created an enormous market for the big ERP vendors to build talent management software, which is starting to revolutionize the talent space. So that's really what's going on there.
Oh, that's pretty cool. All that's been happening on the show floor, you can see it play out here. What about continuous performance management? I mean, that's been around for a while, but you say it's arrived now.
Well, it's been experimented with for a while, and I'd say we've had about 5 to 7 years of experimentation. Now we're at the point where almost every company wants to move away from a once-a-year process to a continuous process. There's dozens of companies that are in the market now selling software that does this. Most of the large technology vendors are building tools for this in their core HR systems. And new data, it allows us to capture new data about how the workforce is getting their work done. It starts to capture data about what relationships you have at work. Social recognition, all sorts of new pieces are falling into what used to be called a once a year performance appraisal.
Okay, that's certainly true. So how do we make sense of your fourth point, the explosion of feedback, pulse type survey and analytics tools? How do you get some order amid that proliferation of those tools?
Well, the funny thing is there's been this market for engagement surveys for a long time, decades. And about 3 or 4 years ago, people began to realize, if I can Yelp a restaurant at home, why can't I Yelp something at work? And some innovative technology people said, well, let's come up with the idea of a pulse survey where we can send out a survey and get answers back in an hour to see what people are thinking about something. And that has created a set of technologies that allow organizations to survey their employees every quarter, every month, and send data directly to the managers about what's going on in their work groups. And sometimes it's a safety thing, a process thing, a customer situation, or other things going on in the workplace. So now we're getting all of this feedback into the management teams of organizations, just like Yelp does for the consumer market.
Could there be survey overload?
Well, the interesting thing about it is the new technology asks like 3 questions or 1 question, and it's on your phone, and you just click a button or you type an answer and you're done. So it's much, much easier than it used to be, and it's very fast.
As an employee, I'm grateful for that. So how about your next point, reinvention of corporate learning? Not the sexiest topic, but it's very necessary.
To me.
It's really necessary. It's critical.
Well, learning or training is $140 billion market that I think is pretty sexy. It's needed by companies more than ever. It's now the number two or number three most important thing in HR, because there's so much automation and job changing and future of work going on that everybody wants to reskill themselves. And what's happened in the training industry is we now have a whole bunch of new tools that allow you to curate and identify content, snip content into small pieces, and use artificial intelligence to recommend learning to people when they don't even know what they need to know. So that's a really important big market.
It's pretty cool. I even saw the Italian company Docebo is right over here.
Yep.
All right, just mentioned a vendor name. All right. So Josh didn't, though. All right, so the recruiting market is rapidly changing. Your sixth main point, you can see that happen almost daily out here.
Right.
So
right.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, there's a million things changing in recruiting, but I think the biggest maybe uber overall change is because we now have a very transparent workforce, you can go online and you can post reviews about your company, you can read about what's going on in other companies. The big issue in recruiting is the candidate experience. Can you create an experience for somebody who might be looking for a job or maybe isn't looking for a job that will make them want to come work for you? And we have a very small, low unemployment rate. There's a lot of jobs in very high demand, technical skills, design skills, data skills, analyst skills. And so companies are looking at their old applicant tracking systems. And this year, roughly one quarter of companies are going to try to replace their old recruiting technology with new technology. So there's hundreds of software companies here developing chatbots, marketing automation tools, portal tools, automated platforms, video interviewing tools, try to make recruiting much, much easier and much more scalable and much more compelling for the candidate.
Okay, so going from candidate experience to employee experience,
right.
You have the well-being market is exploding, and I assume you mean by that also wellness,
right.
And maybe even health aspects.
Exactly. So the history of the well-being market is, you know, actually several hundred years. Companies have been doing things to help their employees stay healthy or give them places to live or give them stipends for different insurance. And that has grown into a very burgeoning industry of tools to not just help people improve their physical health, but improve their entire well-being, which might mean mental health, ability to focus, financial health, any support they might need with their family life, things to make them more mindful in work and deal with this overwhelming environment at work, including a bunch of tools that are really behavioral change tools to help people compete to see how many steps you walked, share information about diet. And companies are really paying attention to this because their workforce is overwhelmed. And these are one of the most highly sought after benefits in companies, particularly amongst younger people, but really people of all ages.
Okay, and I assume that well-being is also part of the overall benefits sector?
It's a benefit, and it's part of the benefits industry, which is an enormous industry. And there's a tremendous amount of technology available now. And as we all start wearing smart watches and, you know, blood pressure monitors, heart rate, all these devices that are suddenly attached to us, employees are starting to share that data with their organizations so the organizations can do things to make the workplace better.
Yeah, so hardware is definitely part of this HR tech equation now too, right? Okay, so going forward, people analytics is at a pretty mature stage of development, you think? Or so what's the disruption in that market?
Well, the disruption is we've been talking about people analytics for several decades and we haven't really done it yet, and now we're doing it. Now there's just been an order of magnitude increase in maturity. Embedded analytics in most of the HR software you buy, the analytics are smarter and smarter and smarter. They're starting to become predictive. So instead of having to go in and read a report and figure out how much, you know, who's out of range in some area, the system can tell you this person is too high in this person's too low in that. That's all becoming more or less common. And companies, 70 to 80% of companies are putting significant amounts of money into cleaning up their data and creating better data policies so that employees feel comfortable with the data that's being collected about them. And that's one of the issues is really being open with employees about how you're using the data
privacy
at work. And
privacy,
so privacy is a big part of
it. Can we trust the employers to handle that privacy issue and the vendors?
Well, we found in the research we're publishing next month that about one in eight companies are not ready to do this. They're so far behind in their data privacy practices, their governance practices, that they're actually potentially at risk. So there's a lot of need to take people analytics seriously in the market right now.
Okay, I hear that. So now we come to the dreaded intelligent. I see that word. I see that partly artificial intelligence. There's been a lot of hubbub around here. Oracle calls it adaptive intelligence, still
right.
AI though.
Right.
Anyway, communications, employee experience tools. Can you kind of elaborate on that little area there?
Yeah. So the average company, medium to large size company, this year has 6 to 7 different HR platforms. And a lot of companies have 15 or 20. So even though you may have bought a new cloud system for all this core HR stuff, you might have a different system for recruiting, different system for wellness, different system for time and attendance, on and on and on. And employees don't want to have to log into all these systems to find the information they need. So we need a layer of software so that an employee can get an answer to whatever question they have. You know, maybe 10 times a year they need to call HR for something. In a very easy to use manner, they can look up information online, they can ask a question and get the answer back, and we don't have to have 100 HR people just answering the same questions over and over. So there's an enormous growth in AI-based and chatbot-based self-service tools. This used to be called employee self-service, but it's much bigger than that now, that allow employees to get the information they need without going to HR directly, and those tools are smart. They go faster and faster and faster. One of the tools is a tool that we put together called ConnectMe from Deloitte, for example.
Oh, nice. Okay, so finally, HR departments have become digital and innovative, and most of them left paper behind long ago, I hope, right?
Well, here's what I was trying to say in that one. And I do encourage people to read the report, because there's so many things in the report I can't talk about right this minute. It used to be that the technology vendors invented something, and then the HR people bought it. And so the technology vendors were usually a year or two ahead of the general HR community. Now the opposite is happening. Now HR departments have realized they should be experimenting with things. They should be doing A-B testing. They should have pilot groups and hackathons and MVPs and try new ideas, because the stuff they're doing isn't working all the time. And so HR departments are becoming the innovators, and then they're going to the technology market and they're saying, hey, do you have a tool that does so-and-so? And the vendors are saying, no, we don't, but that's a really good idea, so maybe we'll build it. So we have actually a really nice virtuous cycle of innovation in the HR department that's now coming back into the tech community, as well as lots of innovation in the tech community. And that's what I was trying to talk about there.
I heard some of that on the floor with the HR professionals who were saying, well, we built this.
Right.
Or then we showed it to the vendor and they said, oh, yeah, we can help you do some of that, or we can give you more of this.
Well, and one of the reasons that's happened is HR departments are so connected to each other now. They can go to conferences, they can meet online, and they can share ideas and come up with new ideas. They don't have to do it in a vacuum. So there's a tremendous amount of innovation in the HR departments of large organizations.
Especially the big ones, like really big ones, even public sector ones. Like I met someone from the LA County government, and also someone from the University of California. They're huge IT departments that are working with HR.
Right.
So thanks for being with Search HR Software, Josh. It was really a pleasure listening to you elaborate on this great report.
Thank you, Sean. My pleasure.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.